My scripture is the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ho to everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a leader and a commander to the people. Oh, how nice to be with you. I want you to know the first thing I say, the thing that I'm telling you is on the level. I haven't patched them up. No, sir. I'm going to give you the story of the restored gospel as it is in the Word of God. And I want you to know that we cannot take and throw it away. No. My text tonight is, come to the waters of salvation. That scripture that I read was from the Old Testament. I have plenty of scripture in the New Testament. That invitation means that the mission of Jesus Christ and the words that he gave to us, come, if you would read the 11th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said there, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Well, someone said that was Jesus that said that. Yes. What right have you to stand here before the people and give the commandments of God? What right? I might tell you just a little bit of my experiences. Yes, when I was just a young man, I began teaching school when I was 17, and I taught school for over a year, and my dad came to me one night just as I came home, and he said, Oscar, when are you going to take up the ministry? I says, the ministry? Yes. Why, I says, Dad, the Lord God knows my name and address. If he wants me, he'll let me know. And he said, well, I received a testimony when you was a baby that you'd preach the gospel. Well, I says, he still knows where I live. And I could see right in his face that he felt bad. He just turned around and walked away. And I began to feel bad too, because I had answered him in such a smart way. And our Western Iowa reunion was coming on, the General Church Reunion. It was to be held in Logan, Iowa, 25 miles from our home. And I said, Mother, I'm going to that reunion. And she said, what'll you do about your school? I said, I'll go down Friday night and come back Sunday night. I drove a horse and cart, you know. So when Friday night came, that was the same week that the father had come to me. When Friday night came, I said to Mother, that morning, I said, I'm going right from the schoolhouse down to Logan. She said, all right. And when I dismissed my school and the kids were all gone, I said to myself, I'm going up there to that desk where I've been teaching all day, and I'm going to ask the Lord about what my dad had said to me. I went up there and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm sorry the way that I answered my father when he asked me when I was going to take up the ministry. I said, please forgive me. But if you want me in the ministry of this church, I want to know it. I want to know it in a way that I won't have to guess at it. And I said, I sure would appreciate it if you'd tell me in that great prayer meeting tomorrow morning down at Logan in the church reunion. I said, I would appreciate it if you would let your spirit rest upon an individual, and that he would tell me it is in answer to this prayer. And I got down there about midnight, and a policeman met me at the gate and helped me care for my horse and put him away and find my tent. There was 425 tents on the ground. Well, we found it all right, and my brother was already there, Brother Hubert. And I said to him the next morning, I said, Hubert, I'm going to that prayer meeting this morning. He said, so am I. I said, let's go together. So we did. We walked over there to that prayer meeting. There was about 1,500 in that meeting. And we walked right down the center aisle and about halfway. And I said, right here is room just for two. And we slipped in there and sat down. That meeting had progressed just about 15 minutes. They had a nice season of prayer. And the man in charge says, now let's hear your testimonies. And there was an old fellow sitting right square behind me. He got up and spoke in the gift of tongues. And he laid his hand on my head. And when he gave the interpretation, he put his hand on my head again. And he said, yes, you're called to the ministry and called now. And this is an answer to the prayer that you offered at the schoolhouse last evening. He said, the church will soon call for you, and you'll be sent out in the missionary field, and you'll be instrumental in baptizing hundreds into the church. That just thrilled me through. And sir, when the meeting was out, we turned around and introduced ourselves to that old man, and I asked him what his name was and where he lived. He said his name was Rudd, and he lived at Dow City. And we were talking about the experience, and I saw a man coming up through the crowd just to pushing his way. He was in an awful hurry, and he came up to that old man that spoke to me. He said, you speak Hebrew? And he said, no. Why, he said, that was the best Hebrew I've heard since I left the old country. And he says that translation was verbatim. There wasn't a thing left out. Well, that convinced me that manifestation was from the Lord. Now, what do you say? Well, I want you to know this, that I'm telling you that I know that the Lord called me into the missionary field and told me where to go. Hundreds of times he has called me and told me where to go and what to do. Yes, he has. I've spent many years in the missionary work, and I'm still putting in all of my time in the work of the church, trying to bless the church in Zion. Yes, ministering to the sick and talking to the saints of God. And I'm telling you now I want you to know that I didn't take up this work just as a plaything. No, I didn't. I have I have spent more than 50 years of my missionary life in the work of the church and made my own living. How'd you do that? I just took contracts and hired men to fill them and went on about my church work. Yes, I did. Oh, I could tell you a lot of my missionary experiences, but now I come to you. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. He has called me to preach this gospel and has given me the help that I needed. For 76 years, I've been preaching this gospel, and thousands have been blessed by the ministry of my hands. The sick have been healed, and the Lord God has blessed thousands of people through the ministry of the Word, and I've baptized hundreds into the church. Yes, I'll just tell you one sermon. I mean one series that I had. Just one. I've had a dozens of them, but I'll just tell you about one. Yes, I have been in the ministry for quite a few years, and I thought, well, next summer I'm going to get the district tent and set it up, and I'm going to take my family with me. It was 300 miles to my mission. I'm going to take my family with me and hold meetings and camp. I'll live in our little tent. Well, we did. I took my little tent, and I got the district tent, and I set it up at a little place down in eastern Iowa called Emmeline. It was just a post office and a big Presbyterian church there, and a nice farming district all around. And I set up my tent there right close to that store, and I held meetings for 3 months, June, July, and August. Never missed a night. We had meetings every night for 3 months. And we had a crowd, they estimated that crowd at 1,000 on weeknights, and on Sundays at 5,000. And I baptized people all summer. Now, what are you telling all that for? Why do you say, are you boasting? No, I'm not boasting. I've been preaching for 76 years, and I'm talking to you. I'm coming to you now with a wonderful text. Come to the waters of salvation. I'm giving you an invitation. I'm giving you this invitation because the Lord God has sent me and give me the privilege and the right and the authority to administer in the ordinances of the gospel, the everlasting gospel. Now, I want to tell you that this gospel has been restored. Yes, this gospel has been restored from heaven. The angel, as of Revelations 14, 6 and 7, the angel did come with the everlasting gospel. He laid his hands upon men and said, upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Messiah, I confer the priesthood after the order of Aaron, and it shall no more be taken from the earth till the sons of Levi shall offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, I quoted that scripture to you because it's in the Word of God, and it had its fulfillment. That wasn't the only text that's found in the 14th chapter of Revelations, 6th and 7th verses, where he said he would send the angel with the everlasting gospel to preach unto all every nation, kindred, tongue, and people? No, that isn't the only text. There's hundreds of them. I'll give you one more. Write this down on your memory or on your postcard or somewhere where you can refer to it once in a while. Yes, in the third chapter of Malachi in the Old Testament, that's the last book and the last writer in the Old Testament. In the third chapter of Malachi, he said, "Wherefore, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." This is the word of the Lord. "Wherefore, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Well, now, it seems like that I can hear somebody say, "Why, that was his first coming." Oh, no, that wasn't his first coming. Listen to the rest of that. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." He didn't come to a temple the first time. He came to a barn, yes. "But who may abide the day of his coming?" I'm giving you that text now. Well, anyone could abide his first coming, yes. "And who shall stand when he appeareth?" Well, anyone. He couldn't even stand himself the first time. But this time, this refers to his second coming. "Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And I will come near you to judgment." He didn't come to judge the world the first time. He came to save the world, yes. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this text, but I want you to know, I want you to believe this gospel. I wouldn't give you this invitation. Come unto the waters of salvation. I want you to know, and I declare to you, under the influence of that Spirit, that the Lord God has restored this gospel in its fullness. He didn't leave anything out. No, when he sent the angel to restore this gospel, he gave to them the right to preach and restored the priesthood, gave to them the priesthood, and gave to them the right to ordain others. And they have. And that ordination has come to me. And I want to tell you now of that gospel that I have been preaching for 76 years. I have been a missionary in the church. I want to tell you about this invitation. Come ye to the waters of salvation. This gospel has, in this invitation, includes the fundamental principles that the Lord gave to his people in the long ago. And it is in exact harmony with the New Testament and the Old Testament. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the world, he came. When he arrived to the age of accountability and the age for the ministry, he came to the before the people and told them, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want you to know that in this invitation, come ye to the waters of salvation, he gave the right to his servants to preach and tell them how to come and what to do. Yes, he said, as you find recorded in the 22nd chapter of Luke, in the 29th verse, he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed unto me. Write that down on your memory now. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. And here, that he was preaching way back in the meridian of time. He spent his mortal career in the meridian of time. Yes. But in the latter days, he said, I'll send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom we seek shall suddenly come to his temple. We are looking forward now. We are living in the latter dispensation of time. The Lord has sent the angel, restored the gospel, and set up the church as Jesus told them back there. Yes, the gospel was restored. I wish that fellow would keep his mouth shut. Well, he did send the man, the angel, and gave to the people the fundamentals of this gospel. And the first thing he done when he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed unto me. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw some fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James and Thaddeus, Simon and Judas. What, that was 12 of them. Yes, he saw these men and called them and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Yes, and what did he do? Why, he took them and laid his hands on them and ordained them to the priesthood and named them apostles. That was the first step that he made when he began his work. I appoint unto you that when he began his work. How do you know? Why, I read it in the scripture. Read that fourth chapter of Matthew. Yes, the 17th verse. From that time Jesus began to preach, and was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. What did he do? Why, he called 12 of them, and he laid his hands on them and ordained them to the office and named them apostles. 12 apostles he sent and put them in charge of his work. Yes. Now, the next step that he made, why, he called the 70. The 70? Yes. They were missionaries. And sent them out to preach the gospel and build up the church. Now, if you want to know, if you want a scripture that'll give you all the fundamentals of this gospel, of the organization and the setup of the church, read that fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter by the Apostle Paul. He said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. not 500. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Not a half a dozen. There's one, yes. That baptism was multiple in its nature. The baptism of water and the Spirit, yes. He called these men and gave them the right. I'm talking about this gospel now that he has committed unto us. It's the same everlasting gospel that was given in the long ago, back there in the days of the Savior and the apostles, as recorded in the New Testament scripture. Read that fourth chapter of Ephesians, when he said, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to a unity of the faith. Yes, we haven't all come to the unity of the faith yet. Get your minds at work now. And in that third chapter of Malachi that I gave to you, he said, behold, open your eyes now. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He did do that. Now, I want to talk to you about who has been worthy. He said, though, come unto me, all ye that are. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If you have been unfortunate to belong to some group of people that just got themselves ready, they're good people, of course. All these gathered groups that have been gathered together, there's 500 different churches in the United States. Yes. And they're good people, of course. I'm not telling you that the devil called them. No, they're good people. Let me give you an example. In the scripture, in the 10th chapter of the Acts, it tells us there was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, of the band called the Italian band. Now, they were fine people. It says that they prayed to God with all. This man prayed to God with all his heart and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And an angel came down from heaven and ministered to him. That is, he talked to him and he told him, he says, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Send men to Joppa and call for Peter, and he'll tell you what to do. Why, didn't he do enough? He was a good man. He feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Isn't that enough? Well, that's good living, yes. But he wasn't in the kingdom. He just belonged to a group of religious people, that's all. And they were not of the kingdom. No. And he said, he called for Peter. And Peter told him to get into the kingdom. And he was baptized into the church and went on in his work. It doesn't pay. I don't care if you if you pray all the time. I want you to know that this invitation that I'm giving you is, come to the waters of salvation. The Lord said, behold, to that old Jew that came to him by night. I don't know why he come by night, unless he was just afraid to come in the daytime. Anyhow, he come to Jesus by night. And he said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he said to him, why, except a man, the Lord answered him and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, he won't know how a man could be born twice. Well, he said he must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, maybe you have been born of the water, but unless that birth of the water wasn't given by the gift of God, by the priesthood and the order of God, if it wasn't by the authority of the kingdom, it didn't do you any good at all. You must, the prophet John that came to prepare the way before the Lord Jesus, he said, I indeed baptize you with water. That means he had authority to baptize with water. I'm coming to you tonight and saying to you, and you, and you, every one of you, I don't care how many, I say unto you, come to the waters of salvation and give yourself to the Lord in the kingdom. Yes, that kingdom is set up as it was in the days of Christ. The Lord said, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. We are looking forward to now. We're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming. Yes, when he shall come to Zion and live with his people for 1,000 years. I want to tell you that I've had testimonies, dozens of them. Yes, I could tell you of my testimonies. When I was preaching in South Dakota, I had a vision. The Lord gave me a vision. I preached there for 3 weeks in one place, and that house was just as full as it could stick, and they couldn't any more get in. And I preached to them for 3 weeks, every night in the week and 3 times on Sunday. And I said one Saturday night, the third week, I said, 3 sermons tomorrow, folks, and I want you all to be here. Well, they was all right. But when I went home to my boarding place where I was staying at Brother Erfer's, he said, what are you going to tell them tomorrow, Brother Case? Well, I said, I don't know. You know, when I said to that, when I gave out that announcement, 3 sermons tomorrow, folks, and I want you all to be here. The Lord took everything away from me. He did. I didn't have a thing that I could tell them. And I just worried. And that night, I prayed all night. Now, that may sound awful strange to you, but I did. I prayed all night. And in the morning, I was still praying. Yes. And I was standing up. And I said, Lord, I've got to have something today. I've got to have something today. And when I said that, he gave me an answer to my prayer. He gave me a vision. I saw the surface of the earth change. And the Lord, for the saints in the millennium, I saw the ushering in of the great millennium. I saw it with my eyes wide open. I could see very well that it was broad daylight, and I was standing up. I saw the Lord change the earth, and I saw the coming of the Lord and the homes of the saints in the millennium. I saw it. I saw the temple that will be built in the city of Zion. Yes, I did. And I was looking at all that, and he gave me the evidence of his coming. And I'm talking to you now that I know whereof I speak. I know that the Lord is coming. I know that he has restored this gospel, and I know that the church is composed of the apostolic order as it was when Jesus Christ was here. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. The Lord God has set up the kingdom, and I bear testimony to you that I've been preaching this gospel for 76 years. Now I want you to know that I'm not joking. No, I'm not just trying to entertain you. I'm serious with this message. Yes, I've been preaching it for 76 years, and I know what I'm talking about. I know he has acknowledged the ministry of my ministry. He has acknowledged the work of my ministry and the ministry of my hands and the words of my mouth. Yes, he has. He has come to my rescue and given to the people that I baptized. Now, I'm going to tell you that first series that I ever held, the first series of meetings that I ever had. Yes, I was in Decatur, Nebraska. That's 60 miles north of Omaha. And I went over there. It was my first series. And I got there, and I told Brother Butts, he was the pastor of the church there, I said to him, I don't want to preach in that little church. I said to him, I want to rent the biggest hall there is in this town. And I did. And I preached for 3 weeks. I'll tell it very brief. I preached for 3 weeks, and I had 12 names for baptism. I took them down to the Golden Spring and baptized them, and I said to myself, I didn't tell anybody but the Lord, I said to myself, this is my opportunity, and I'm going to call a prayer meeting and ask the Lord to give to these people that I've confirmed the gifts of the gospel. And I did. I called that prayer meeting. There was about 400 in the service. I called that prayer meeting. On Friday night, I said to them, I said, we're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night. And there's an old lady sitting right down there right in front of me. She said, oh, Brother Case, why don't you preach for us? Well, I said, plenty of time to preach. I said, we're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night. And I did. I called that prayer meeting. And I said, I want you all to be there. And there was. That hall was just chock full. And I had a little song service. And I said, now let's have a season of prayer. We had a little season of prayer, 4 or 5 prayers. And I said, Now let's hear your testimonies. That's the way I said, let's hear your testimonies. And there was one of those women that I had baptized got up and she said, Brother Case, would it be an order for me to tell us an experience that I've had since I come to this meeting? I said, that's exactly what I want you to do. She said, I've had an open vision. And she told us all about it. It was wonderful. And she sat down, and there was another woman that I had baptized that when she got home, her husband cussed her to everything he could think of. And he wouldn't quit. Every time he was around her, he cussed her. And she cried for 3 days. And sir, when she called the doctors in that town, and they couldn't tell what was the matter with him, and she got a doctor from Omaha, Dr. Evans from Omaha, and he couldn't tell. And they got Dr. Talboy from Sioux City, and he gave it a big name, and he told him if he had any financial matters to fix up, he better do it quick. And he said, why, he'd already done that, but he wanted to see that little preacher. And they sent for me, and I went up there, and I sat down by the bed. I said, Jack, what do you want? His name was Jack Louts. And he said, I want you to forgive me. I said, oh, well, I didn't know you'd done anything against me. He said, I said some awful bad things about you. I said, well, don't tell me what they are. I'll forgive you. I don't know what you said. And he said, well, I said some awful bad things about my wife. Well, I says, you got to fix that up with her. I didn't do it. I don't have anything to do with that. And he said he had. Well, I said, maybe you better talk to the Lord about it. He says, I did. I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I told him if he would help me out this once, I would come in the church and be a man the rest of my life. Well, I said, I don't know whether he would or not. He says, would you pray for me? I said, yes, I can pray for you. He says, would you administer to me? I says, I will if you want me to. And he says, I do. And I did. I ministered to that fella. And sir, just as I took my hands off his head, he got right square up out of that bed and he said, I'm a well man. He was healed. Well, now I just told you that to show you that the Lord was with me in that series of meetings, and he done what he said he would do. And he gave to them people the gifts and blessings of the Spirit was given to them as is mentioned in the New Testament Scripture. I just told you that as an evidence that the Lord has recognized my ministry. He's recognized my ministry for 76 years. And he's still with me. And I say unto you right now, come to the waters of salvation. If you have united with a group of people that just meet together and have a service and don't have the apostolic setup of the church as it's given in the New Testament Scripture, and you don't have the gifts and blessings among you, I want to say to you, come to the waters of salvation. Get down on your knees and ask the Lord for light. And I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, he'll give you light if you will read his word. He will give you light. And you can find those texts that I have quoted to you, where he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. And he will give to you the apostolic setup of the church. Yes, I want to tell you, if you have not the apostolic setup of the church in that group that you belong to, You better come to the waters of salvation and give to us your name and be administered to by the ordinances of the church in baptism and confirmation, the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't want to come and give to you and receive the ordination or confirmation of the church that the Lord has given to His people, you'll still be out in the world and your life is in danger. I bid you in the name of Jesus Christ to come to the waters of salvation and receive the gospel and be baptized into the church of Jesus Christ, composed of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to a unity of the faith. Come to the waters of salvation and you will receive a testimony that you can't throw away. I thank you.